Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke. Chris Loffrey and I are in for Lori Walsh today. Well, you may have seen the film Tater Tot and Patton. It was filmed in South Dakota and based on South Dakota, with a love for South Dakota. And the filmmaker Andrew Keitlinger is joining us in studio here, the Kirby Studio in Sioux Falls. And Andrew, welcome. We've had you on the phone many times. Is this the first time you've been with us
this
in person?
This is the first time, like, behind the curtain, and I really like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we can welcome you into the brand new Sioux Falls studio today.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much. You are in the state now for a while. There's going to be some week-long showings of Tater Tot and Patton across the state, and we can talk a little bit about the schedule, and you're going to be doing some Q&As as well. But first of all, let's go ahead, for those who may not have seen the film yet, kind of give us a synopsis, and let's start with that.
You know, it's a classic tale. Yeah, a city girl escapes to the middle of South Dakota to her uncle's ranch and upends his placid boozer life. Right. And it's about these two kind of cross-generational people who help each other rise out of their personal ashes. So it's very classic, but we try to do some different things with that trope as we go along in the movie. And yeah, and it's a love letter to South Dakota as well.
When you were doing the casting, did you find any similarities between the actors and the characters in which they're portraying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Bates Wilder, who plays the uncle, he's going to hate that I said this, but he's kind of an ogre in real life, and I needed an ogre of a man. And let it be known, he like gained like 60 pounds to play that role.
Wow.
Like, that was like Christian Bale level stuff, and he lost it right away. Like, he lost like 60 pounds.
Can he share that plan with the rest of us?
No, he just kind of did. I said, this is the type of guy I'm looking for. He grew this big beard. He also had a herniated belly button.
Huh.
And it was... You'll see it in the movie. It's a close-up of it in the movie, like right at the beginning. And it's just the most disgusting thing. And he said, I could have had it operated on, but I felt like it added to his character.
Wow.
Yeah, so he got it removed like right after we finished shooting. And then Jessica, yeah, Jessica, who's now obviously gone on to pretty big things, we went to film school together. She was in the acting conservatory at BU. And I remember seeing just a 30-second monologue that she did, and I knew in that moment, I think it was Chekhov or something, I knew she'd be famous. There was just this humanity in her performance, and she's always been in my head since then, and I wrote this part for her just sort of on a whim, and we're lucky enough that she did it.
I saw that she just got engaged to be married last month.
She did, to Eric, who's the coolest guy. Yeah, nice. They kind of live near me in LA, and they're lovely. They have a great dog, too.
I knew something all along, but I wasn't able to inform you until today, but we're both peer governors. We're both peer graduates, high schools.
Go governors.
Yeah. Now, after you were born in Madagascar and spent time in peer from about 11 through high school.
Yep.
And then tell me about going on to college and how you developed your interest in film and about your schooling after you graduated from peer.
Well, you know, the interest in film started when I was a kid. 5 years old, you know, I lived in the rainforest in Madagascar, and we didn't have any access to to movies. So the first movie I ever saw when I was five was E.T. And there was something about the magic of that movie. I didn't know what it was as a kid. You couldn't put your finger on it, but I knew, like, I need to do that, whatever that is. And I was obsessed with that ever since. At one point, I wanted to be Jim Carrey desperately. And then once college came around, my parents, being the scientists that they are, Lon Keitlinger being my father, they were very like clinical about things. Like, you know, we want you to follow your passion. They never discouraged me, but they said, like, why don't you get a practical degree? And, you know, and I ended up going to Augustana College, now university, and studied government and French, and did theater on the side and did an improv troupe. And I was making short films throughout college. And the weird thing is that passion never went away. I think they were maybe hoping that I change my mind and do something practical. But what sort of, and honestly, going into grad school, I thought I would end up going into like the CIA, not as like somebody with a gun, but as an analyst or something, because I spoke multiple languages. Yeah. And then, you know, my mother passed away when I was 21, and that was my senior year of college. And that was sort of my dad said, life is short, follow your dreams. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I ended up going to Boston University, which was the only film school I applied for. And the fact that I got in, I guess, was serendipitous in a strange way. Augie was, well, what's interesting about my government degree, and I have Dr. Schotten to thank for all this, for luring me into their program, is that I use it all the time as a director. Running a film set is like running a government in a microcosm.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because you're working with egos and different types of people.
Sure.
Yeah. So then I went to Boston, and that was instructive, and I learned how to kind of hone my instincts with tools and learn to use the tools. And then I spent a year in Los Angeles working for the Kennedy Marshall Company, and Kathleen Kennedy has been one of Spielberg's collaborators for 30 years now, mm-hmm. and she runs Star Wars now. And that was really cool to work for my heroes. And then I don't know, South Dakota was calling back. And I ended up coming back and directing a movie called Dust of War, which was a kind of a B science fiction movie that I'm very proud of. Yeah. Yeah. And then after that film, I kind of took a step back and asked myself, like, what kind of movies do I want to make? Like, what do I want to be defined by? Like, what do I want when I'm 90 years old doing things like Clint Eastwood's doing, you know, still kicking it? Like, what do I want to be known for? So I took a step back and realized, okay, what I do next, I want to make movies about people. And movies that kind of dig into the human condition and peel back the layers of mm-hmm. different parts of the country. And I'm especially just interested in how America is America, especially in this day and age. So Tater Tot was born out of that curiosity of wanting to, as a person who loves South Dakota, I also wanted to dig into the craw of why we are who we are, and we were very fairly isolated. And that has both its ups and downs, and that's mm-hmm. definitely explored in this movie.
Talking about Tater Tot and Patton now, I look at reviews and I hear things like artistic, and it's a South Dakota film for South Dakotans. It's about South Dakota people. How important was it? You kind of already alluded to, you know, wanting to get back to your roots here in South Dakota and make this film. Are you finding that South Dakotans are finding the same things that some of these reviewers are talking about, that it's artistic, it has a South Dakota feel to it?
Yeah, you know, that's what we're doing this theatrical release is, because I think what I want, especially these Q&As, will be informative to make sure that what I believe is a reflection. Like, I guess to step back, filmmaking is an impression of reality. That's when you make a film, it's an impression of reality. It's not actually reality. And I hope that the impression that I give in this movie is accurate enough, and that South Dakotans see themselves in kind of a mirror, in mm-hmm. both negative and positive ways. Right. You know, like the uncle character is this very closed off kind of stoic German type, you know. And I think a lot of people like that in South Dakota. A lot of my family members like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, like if that. We've spent any amount of time in the state, it's somebody you can relate to.
Exactly. Yeah. So then this girl comes and sort of strips away the onion of this character, mm-hmm. and he does the same to her in a way. But I hope that people see that great art can be made in the state. And I'm on the South Dakota Arts Council board. I'm always like, I'm not shocked as much amazed at just how much beautiful art there is in South Dakota. Painting, sculpture, poetry, mm-hmm. You know, kids that are up and comers that are just really great at slam poetry, music and all those things. So I hope that people rally behind this, because I think it's a great example of South Dakotans coming together. My co-producers, one of them, Adam Emerson, who has a day job because he's a producer and he's always working. He's from Pierre. We went to middle school together and high school together, right? We graduated together. We were best friends. And he was somebody that always pushed me to follow my dreams. Mm-hmm. And so much so that he produced my movie, right?
Yeah.
And did backbreaking work on it with his wife, Dohi. I want people to come support it because it's homegrown.
You had some good support, some good advice from people like your friend, people like your dad, in order to get where you are now and especially make a film like this. In the amount of time we have left, do you want to take a time to run through the schedule for the screenings, or do you want to just throw out a website, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, yeah. I think people should definitely know that in Sioux Falls this weekend, we're playing at this Wells Fargo Cinedome Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at mm-hmm. 7 p.m. Saturday night, this Saturday, I'm doing a Q&A after the 7 p.m. show, and there's an after party at the Fernson downtown.
Nice.
Fernson downtown. So please come to that. And then on Friday, we're starting simultaneously around the state for 1 week runs, so you'll be able to see it all week. Pier, Spearfish, Mitchell, Huron, Brookings. Am I forgetting any? I think that's good. I think that's right. And then March 15th, we're going to be in Aberdeen and Watertown for 1 week.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we're showing One Night in Mowbridge on March 12th, which is My grandmother, Lorraine, lives in Selby, and that's just for her mostly.
Nice. Yeah. But again, Q&A at every, or you have one Q&A at each location. At each location. Yeah.
And if if you go into Facebook, okay. Type in Tater Tot and Patton, you'll be able to find those Q&A schedules. And same with Instagram. And I'm driving like 2,000 miles the next 9 days. It's
going to be fun. I certainly hope the weather is going to cooperate.
It won't, but we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best.
What about, can you talk about anything you're working on now as far as future projects?
Yeah, I can be vague, but in an interesting way. Tater Tot was a great door opener to bigger projects. Mm-hmm. It landed me a management agency in LA, a really good one. And that's, in filmmaking, especially when you're early in your career, is all about scaffolding. What I'm working on right now is a movie. I'm working on one about sex trafficking, mm-hmm. And I've been researching that for about 2 years.
A movie or documentary?
A movie. Okay. Yeah, a narrative movie. What I'm working on like most immediately, which I'm really excited about, is a movie about gun violence in America and looking at it from sort of a nuanced, pragmatic approach. And it's a drama as well. And then I also finished writing a science fiction movie, like a family, sort of a Transformers-esque thing that we're trying to sell right now. And that movie is also sort of about the country and the lack of unity in our country and all those things. So I like to focus on what's current. And
so you have a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak.
You kind of have to,
Yeah, cool. Andrew Keitlinger, our guest, and again, he is the filmmaker, Tater Tot and Patton, screenings across the state of South Dakota, beginning on the 8th, and he'll be all over the state, 2,000-plus miles he's going to put on the vehicle, and look forward to seeing it again and question and answer sessions. Hope the people come out.
Come say hi. I'm an open book, so ask what you want.